Hello, everybody. Welcome to Running Code, humor in South Texas law enforcement. I'm your host, T-Bone. With me, and always have my back, J-Man. J-Man, looking good. I like the new haircut.
Thank you.
There was feminine persuasion in that haircut, I guarantee.
That, and it was already getting too long. So
it did look a little shaggy. You look like you're trying to bring back the 70s.
Oh, I wasn't alive during the 70s, but they got some good music, so it must have been a good time.
Yeah, Superfly, Shaft. Who's the man? That may go over most people's heads that were not born in the 70s and know who Shaft is.
I just watched Shaft, but not the
Samuel Jackson version.
No, I know. That's the one I just watched. Nah, I didn't watch the original.
Oh, but man, that was the best.
The one with Shaft is not too bad.
No, Samuel Jackson.
I'm sorry, but Samuel Jackson.
He did a good job. Well, you and I today are going to talk about something that I think anybody can understand, but especially cops, but even the civilian population that listens may understand what we're talking about. I'm going to title this one, Stupid Questions, Stupid Answers, and Stupid Comments.
Yeah.
Now, you and I have been told growing up, our whole lives, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
And we probably believe that. Me, when I went in the military, that kind of started going away because, yes, there was stupid questions. But being a cop has really beaten into my head there is such a thing as a stupid question.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I'm talking about when I say stupid questions, I mean questions that are asked of us. And when I say stupid answers, I mean answers that are given to us from the questions we ask. And then comments, just in general, dumb things people say to you. You just look at them. It takes you a second to actually process what was asked. Like, did I mishear that? Because there's no way this person really, really meant that. And then you realize, no, they were dead serious. They actually meant that. And then it just, again, your OODA loop just kind of goes, what? So explain to me about OODA loop. OODA loop is the decision-making process your brain goes through to take action. It's called observe, orient, decide, and act. There's a whole psychology to that. I'm not going to get into that. That's a whole thing. But you can actually watch YouTube videos from law enforcement professional instructors and use of force instructors about what an OODA loop is. But everybody has an OODA loop. It's not just cops. Every person on the planet has an OODA loop. You see something, you look at it, you decide what you're going to do, and then you act on it.
Mm-hmm.
For us, our OODA loop is, I'm going to pull this car. I'm not going to stop this car. Okay, I observe this car speeding. You know, I observe. Okay, now I'm going to take action. So my decision is to stop the car. And then I act by turning on the lights. So that's my OODA loop on a traffic stop. Then how he acts is going to have another OODA loop and so on and so forth. It's a constant process. But you get asked a question so stupid that your OODA loop freezes for a second because you're just kind of thrown off.
Yep.
Like, what? Are you serious? And I'm not trying to be a dick, but was that a serious question? Or are you just like trying to be a comedian? That's cool. We'll laugh and joke. No, sir, I'm serious. Oh, wow. Okay, there were so many things wrong with what you said. I'm going to try to start from the top. Maybe we'll Tarantino it. Yeah. We'll go to the end, back to the beginning, and then maybe the middle somewhere until we piece this mystery together. So I'll give you a great example of a stupid question. And I got this question. I was at Whataburger, and I'm eating. And we've talked about this before on the show. When we're eating, please leave us alone. Mm-hmm. Don't take that personal, but we're trying to shovel food in our face. So we can get out to the call because you never know the next call is going to take 6 hours and you won't have had the chance to eat or pee. And generally the media and your boss probably don't favor you and you whipping your shit out on the side of the road on a crime scene and taking a leak, no matter how bad you got to go. So when we go eat, what I usually do is I eat, order my food, go use the restroom, wash my hands while waiting, and then I come out and get my food. That way at least I'm taking care of one issue.
Yep.
And then I get my food and I'm trying to take care of another issue.
Yep.
So, you know, dehydrate, eat, rehydrate, leave.
Yep.
So.
Yep. Good sequence. Yep.
This guy came up to me, and he was like, sir, can I ask you a question? And I wanted to give the smart-ass answer I usually give. So maybe that'd be a stupid answer, I guess, you know, from me to him. But I said, I would have said, hold on, are you in danger right now? Is there something you need to tell me this minute because you or someone else is in danger? But I didn't. I said, I guess either maybe that day I just wasn't all that hungry or I hadn't done anything. I didn't have anything pending or, oh, hell, I don't know. Maybe I was out of service for something. I don't remember why. I just went ahead and indulged it. So I said, what you got, man? Hey, is it okay if I shoot somebody on my yard after dark? And it took a second to process this. I was like, let me see if I understand what you're asking because I don't want to jump to conclusions. Let me see if I understand. Are you asking, is it legal for you to kill somebody solely for being on your property after dark? Yes. Wow. Okay. We're going to need a deep dive on this one because I really want to make sure you understand what I'm about to tell you. Here's the short answer. Hell no. But now let me explain. Let me expand on that. It's not 1875 on the frontier where literally there was no help for 20 miles. Right. It would take you a day on horseback to reach the nearest town or neighbor. Back then, neighbors were a day's ride.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it could be a 2-day walk. I mean, this wasn't now where you have a neighbor 10 feet to your left, 10 feet to your right, and cops generally within 2 to 5 minutes of your location.
Yeah.
So I said, no, you can't shoot somebody solely for being on your yard. And he's like, well, but it's my yard and it's after dark. I said, so let's walk through this. You're safe inside your house behind a locked door. Presumably you have a firearm, which is fine. It's Texas. It's America. He's doing nothing but standing in your yard or walking across your yard, and you think the best play here is to now leave the safety of your house with your firearm, step outside, and shoot this man, woman, or possibly even a child that just maybe looks like an adult. Maybe they're just a teenager that's really tall because solely he was on your yard. I said, does that make sense to you? Like, I'm asking seriously, does that make sense? And I'll explain it that way. And he was like, well, maybe not. Okay. I said, we need to use this. I said, the best course of action is to stay inside the safety of your house and call us. We'll come by. I said, all we want to know is where you're at, what's the description of him or her, what are they wearing, and what direction did you last see him? And then we'll look for him, and if we find him, we'll, hey, man, are you okay? It could be someone looking for a lost dog. It could be a kid crossing yards to get to his buddy's house, and you just shot some 13-year-old, or some guy looking for his dog, which anybody would do, looking for their dog. They're not thinking about hurting you. They just want to find their dog.
Mm-hmm.
I said, so we have to use this, the brain, first, before we engage anything else. But he just seemed flabbergasted. He couldn't just step out and Doc Holliday it. I'm like, that was a serious question. And I've actually heard that question a few times. Because people think because we're in Texas that you can do that. And they confuse Castle Doctrine with that.
Yeah.
That is not the same thing. We don't have time to go into all that, but I will say Castle Doctrine is not that. Castle Doctrine is you are safely inside your house and someone forces entry into your house.
Mm-hmm.
That's an entirely different issue. That's an entirely different set of circumstances, an entirely different scenario. At that point, I can't tell you what to do. Do what you think is best. I can tell you what I would do, but I'm not you. But your yard? No, dude. Really? Because that door is locked for their protection, not yours. So if they actually make the effort to get through a locked door to get to you, they probably don't have shaking your hand on their mind.
Yeah.
So different circumstance. So that's an example of a very stupid question. And I wanted to berate the guy. Like, are you an idiot? Like, what the hell's wrong with you? But he genuinely thought that was okay. And so I'm not going to solve anything by treating him like that.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I got it across to him.
Yeah.
Basically, the short answer was call us. We will come and talk to the guy. Hey, why are you here? Now, if it turns out he's got a warrant, hey, problem solved. We're getting him out of the neighborhood right now. Easy money.
Mm-hmm.
You're never looking for a lost dog? All right, well, just bear in mind you walked across someone's yard. I mean, we're not going to say don't look for your dog, and I'm not going to get mad at them for being on someone else's yard. I'm just going to say don't walk across someone's yard if you don't have the choice. All right, just try to stay on the sidewalk if you can. If you find your dog in the yard, yeah, get your dog. You know. But it's questions like that that make you question humanity, honestly.
Yeah, and also, too, even, like, it's kind of funny, having a question like that, I've gotten, like, I guess the reverse to where somebody was upset at me for, like, taking a break. Maybe they had a bad run-in with an officer before they saw me just shopping for drinks, chips, you know, coffee, whatever. She asked me, well, while you're in here getting snacks, who's out there patrolling the neighborhood? I don't know. I just said, well, thank you, have a good night. I didn't even bother to go into it. Because like you said, what else am I going to say? Like, that doesn't come off rude, and it probably would make me be rude, but I'm just like, no. Like, no. That's a really crazy question to ask. Because you're implying that it's just me on, just me working with no other partners, and that, two, I got to pee in my car. You know, I put pee in the unit. Like, there's a catheter inside. And it's attached to some sort of, like, collection.
Yeah, we wear a diaper and we keep a full meal in the car. So we always, you know, have the ability to eat and pee immediately. Okay.
It just
sounds great.
Just strange. Like, I don't understand. Like,
I mean, I've learned over the years to keep, like, maybe a jar of peanuts in my go bag. So at least get some kind of protein, some kind of salt intake. I keep bottled water in the car. But there are times if I can save that and get a real meal, I'm going to do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but there's times I can't. So I just have a back. I have a bottle of almonds or a bottle of, you know, peanuts, something, some kind of food intake that at least kill my stomach for a little while until I get to real food. But sometimes you just want to stop and get yourself a bag of chips and a drink and use the restroom. Like, and the fact that in her mind, you are welded to that car for your entire shift, whether it's 8, 10, or 12. And how dare you have the tenacity and the temerity to get out of that car. Because right now, since you're in here, the whole world is coming apart outside this store. Like, there's now rioting in the streets you didn't see. As soon as you walked in the door, the zombie apocalypse started.
Yep.
Yeah. And that's, you should have asked where she was from. And I bet you the West Coast would be an answer.
See, I don't like to do that. Like,
I do.
I get
where are you from? California. Shocked. I'm shocked.
It's just logic. Like, I don't think people are as logical or at least have the basic common sense like they used to because of the invention of smartphones.
This destroyed a lot of common sense and a lot of societal norms and has changed. Well, let me back that up. It has changed societal norms.
Mm-hmm.
Is this.
It sure has.
Right here. People don't know how to be social anymore. I tell people, pretend it's 1995 and talk to each other. Because if you go into any room, nobody's talking. They're all on this. Mm-hmm. The only one talking is the guy trying to get in the girl's pants. That's it. Husband's not talking to wives. Brother's not talking to brothers. Everybody's on this. If you go by the average household and at dinner table, how much I bet the majority of the family's on one of these, whether it's an iPhone or an iPad or a tablet, some sort of digital distraction device. Hey, I just coined a phrase. Triple D, digital distraction device.
Oh, nice.
Hey, listeners, use that one. DDD. Triple nice. D. Digital distraction device. But that's what it is.
That's nice.
They don't talk to each other anymore.
Yeah.
I grew up, we had dinner and we talked. Mm-hmm. Usually it was an ass chewing from mom or dad for something I did. You know, and they would ask me what I would think was a stupid question. And I would give an equally stupid answer and get knocked out of my chair. You know? But I do think, honestly, smart devices have made us dumber as a culture. And another thing. You have the world's largest repository of human information right here at your fingertips. But these people are so lazy, they don't bother looking up a law. They go and do it and then try to use, I didn't know.
Mm-hmm.
You have an entire library of everything you ever want to know in the world is in your hand, but you want to use it for Tinder or to look up sports scores or to look up, you know, well, I can't say look up directions because they don't even use it for that. How many times they pull up to us at a crash scene? Well, sir, I need to get over there. How can I?
Yeah.
You have maps?
That's happened a whole lot. Yeah. Now, and
Every time I've had direct traffic.
And I've asked people, well, do you have a smartphone? Like, yeah. I'm like, well, you just got to put in the directions. And
open
just,
nav.
It's that, but that right, I don't know if that's it's a stupid question, yes, because they have a smartphone, but it's like I said, it's that logical part. The common sense part is gone. Mm-hmm. Like, it just went blank.
Well, I grew up learning how to navigate because we didn't have smart devices. Mm-hmm. We had maps, map books. For those that are born after 1990 and have no clue what I'm talking about, we had a book called a map book, and it had either an entire state or may have a region or a city, and you actually had to know how to use a map book.
Yeah.
And you would have to write down directions. If you wanted to go to this girl's house to pick her up for your date, you actually had to pull out the map book, and you had to read the directions and write down a piece of paper where you were going so you could find her, take her on a date.
Mm-hmm.
You had to learn how to navigate. So you learned that, you know, one side of the street's evens, one side of the street's odds. You know, even freeways run east and west, odd number of freeways run north and south. Nobody knows how to do that anymore. I've had to teach rookie cops how to navigate because they were born after the 90s and had no clue what a map book even was. The only ones I never had to do that with were the veterans,
mm-hmm,
who took at least basic land nav.
Yeah.
But the rest of the public has no idea what a map book is. If I handed them a Thomas Brothers map book, they'd be like, what is this? Oh, that's what's on your phone in paper. Except your finger is the little blue line. So, and I got fortunate because my mother made me learn how to use a map. I mean, I was her navigator. She had a home repossession business, and she would put the foreclosures on the doors, and it'd be all over the northern part of the state. And on a weekend, I'd go with her, and I was her navigator, and I would navigate using that map. She made me learn how to use it. I knew now by the time I was 15. I could navigate anywhere in the United States with a map book.
Yeah.
Most kids don't get that kind of education. It helped greatly when I became a cop. But I already knew. Ease odds on one side, evens on the other. Which direction freeways run and how they work. What a business exchange is. All that. I learned how it worked. So, usually when I get those questions on a crash or I'm directing traffic because I got the whole intersection shut down, it's usually the younger generation. And as they pull up to ask me which direction they should go, they're holding this in their hand. Mm-hmm. And I go, well, refer to the device in your hands with the map function. You don't got to be a dick. I cannot stand there and tell every single person who pulls up where to go. I'm controlling the entire intersection, usually by myself. I don't have time to answer your stupid question. That falls under stupid question.
Yeah.
Okay. And I'll give an equally stupid answer. And then I get called by Internal Affairs.
Hell yeah.
And that's fine. Complain all day long. I'm working a major and shut down an intersection. You want to stop and ask me because you're too lazy to pull over. Punch in the address on this and find an alternate route. And it will tell you exactly how to go an alternate route. As soon as you drive off the path that would have taken you on, it'll reroute you automatically. Mm-hmm. You don't have to do shit. But then again, now they're holding this in their hand, which I don't like either. So it's, eh. But they cause another crash. Well, I've already got this one. Someone else is going to take that one. But that's a stupid question.
It is.
And then let me give you a great example of a stupid answer.
Mm-hmm.
Here's my question on a traffic stop. May I have a driver's license? I don't have one. Like, you don't have one on you, or you don't have one at all? I don't have one at all. Why don't you have a license? Well, the law says I don't have to have a license if I have insurance.
Yeah, I never heard that.
Wait, what? I want to be sure I heard that correctly because I might have misunderstood what you said. Did you say the law says that you don't have to have a valid driver's license as long as you have insurance? Yes, sir. That's incorrect.
I've never had anyone tell me that.
I've heard it several times in my career as a traffic officer, and it blows me away every time because they really believe that. And I'm like, it's not a sovereign thing. That was my first thought. The first time I heard that, I thought that was a sovereign thing. It was not a sovereign thing. Infamous they. Told them they didn't have to do that. I'm like, I want to meet this Mr. They. I'm sure he's on the dark web somewhere, and that's where I can meet this individual. Because he gives out nothing but bad information. I've yet to see Mr. They give good information. You got any good information from Mr. They?
Yeah, no.
No? Okay, no. Just checking, because I thought maybe I'm the only one that just hasn't. They truly believe that. What they don't understand is insurance and license go together like peanut butter and jelly.
Mm-hmm.
Peanut butter is insurance. Jelly is the license. Put them together in a sandwich. You can't have one without the other. Now, let me specify what that means. You can get insurance without a license. They will insure you. They're a business. They want your money. And they're going to take your money every month, all month.
Mm-hmm.
The minute you get into a crash, and on the crash report it is noted that you did not have a license, they're going to drop the claim. Because it says on every insurance policy in Texas, I know it says in Texas for a fact, all drivers must be licensed under any jurisdiction in the United States, Canada, or Puerto Rico. That's what it says.
Mm-hmm.
So all you did was give them an out. So because insurance companies are looking for reasons not to spend money.
Yep.
You just handed them the easiest reason in the world. You don't have a license. So they'll cover the other car you hit because they don't have a choice, but they're not going to cover you or your car because you did not have a license. Ergo, you were not allowed to be on the roadway and should not have been there in the first place because you did not have that little document that allows you to drive. Because I'm going to say it again, driving is a privilege, not a right. It is granted and taken by the state. For good reason. You know, so yes, I heard that.
I'm just
blown away.
I've always heard like the inverse is that I don't care, I don't keep my driver's license with me.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well why? Because I have a picture of it on my phone. I'm like, you have to keep your driver's license with you in the car.
You have to.
If a peace officer stops you, you have to display it upon request. And they don't say display a picture of it on your phone because
no,
we can't identify that is actually your driver's license, or a correct one.
Mm-hmm.
We need to have the physical. I don't know how many times I've heard that. That's a my generation and further on thing, to yes, where we're just like, oh, no, I don't drive with it.
It is. Anybody I've seen in their 40s and older usually have their license on them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the mid-30s and down generation that, no, it's about, I got a picture on my phone, but they have a whole wallet in their hand. Where's the license? It's at home. But you got your entire wallet in your hand. Maybe that's just odd to me because I grew up where I didn't have a cell phone, but I did have my wallet. And in my wallet was my credit card and my driver's license and some money and a condom, hoping, you know, I get lucky. I had all these things at all times, and I left the house. You know, you check your pockets, I got my car keys, got my wallet. And back then, it was all he had, car keys and wallet. Nowadays, it's I got my vape, my car keys, my wallet, my phone, I got this and I got that. But back then, oh, my gun, I got my badge, you know. Back then, it was I got my phone, or I got my wallet, and I got my keys. All right, let's hit the road,
you know. I just thought about this. Even when you find people having sex, like my question is all like it's sex in public. And what I mean by public is in a car, just in a public, like in a public place.
Yeah, accessible.
Yeah, public accessible place. And my question is always like, well, why couldn't you just go to, you know, either one of y'all's houses? And if you couldn't do that, why not get a hotel room? I don't understand. A cheap motel room. Go do what you got to do.
Motel, motel.
Yeah.
I'll ram it in.
And it's just always weird, like, because the weirdest one was they were in a church parking lot first before I found them across the street in the one spot of the parking lot where there was a light, a street lamp. And I was just like, man, wait a minute. What compelled you to go to the church parking lot first? Like, are you insane? Like, and then you go across the
street. God is frowning.
And you go across the street from that same place, and then I find you, and then and then you're getting changed outside the car, and she's, you know, butterball naked in the back seat. I don't get it. And then, this is a stupid comment. She tells me, are you going to call my job and let them know what I was doing? Oh, I want to call Walmart and tell them you're having sex in the back seat of somebody's car? Like, they're not going to
care.
They're not going to care.
I promise you, they're not going to fire you. I guarantee you. Walmart is not going to fire you. Now, if you were a police officer or, you know, a nun, you might have some problems. Any other job is not going to give a rip that you were having sex in a car. Walmart would be like, okay, and? Will she be at work on time? Are you arresting her? No? Okay. Click.
It's just funny. And I've never gotten good answers for it. I either get no answer, no response, because maybe they're just like, oh yeah, you know what? You know, it does make sense to where I'm not discovered. Or they just say, well, we just didn't have the time. You know, it was getting hot right now. I'm like, yo, so you're so horny, you just had to pull over and do it right here. Why are you driving and you can't control your horny
look level? When the blood runs from the brain to the extremities, all the rational thought process goes out the window. You turn to the limbic system, and now it's just root hog and growl, to use a country term, because I was raised on a ranch. But I was raised in California, right? And every Friday night, we would go to the river. And that's where you'd find all the cars parked along the river.
Uh-huh.
The cops even knew what we were doing in there. All the windows fogged up. Every one of them fogged up. If there was a car parked there where the windows weren't fogged up, they might stop and actually talk to that car. Like, you okay? You know? But if the windows are fogged and the car's rocking, the cops left you alone. They might drive by, hit the whaler, hit the spotlight going down the cars. Most people knew as long, you know, whatever. The cops knew why you were there. It was a different time. It was the 90s. It was a whole different time. Yeah. And I had a huge classic car with a massive back seat. So I was very comfortable in my car. Those guys that had like Civics and crap, I don't know how the hell they did it. I mean, you need to be a contortionist. But I had a 1958 with a huge back seat. I could have comfortably had an orgy. I never did. I'm not into that. But my girlfriend and I had plenty of room to relax. But it was a different time.
Yeah.
You know, the 90s. The 80s and 90s were a much different time. Cops handled a lot of things a lot more discretion than they can now.
Yeah.
They knew who the troublemakers were. They knew who had the good parents, who didn't have the good parents, who they could talk to, who would listen, who would mouth off, who would not. And when that cop retired, your sins retired with him. You know, he could take you home just to your parents. Oh, I know your mom. She's going to kill you. Take me to jail. Nope, you're going home. And they knew that was going to solve the problem better than they could solve it.
Right.
You know, but now cameras and electronics and computers have kind of limited a lot of our discretion that we used to have.
Yeah.
So stuff we could have just handled on our own before, we've got to handle it officially now. I'm sorry. I mean, it is what it is. But I remember run-ins I had with the cops in Northern California, and, oh, we know your dad. Go home. We're going to call him. No. Please don't call him. No, please, please. I'm begging you. No, we're going to call him. Oh, shit. It's going to be far worse for me than going to jail. I wasn't scared of jail as I was of my parents.
Right.
Jail was like, I might get beat up, maybe, but I am going to get the shit beat out of me if I get when I go home. That's a guarantee.
That's true. You know?
Jail, maybe, maybe not. House, 100%.
That's very true.
So, and I don't remember anyone talking to cops. Maybe it's just because I didn't run in that circle. Like, all my friends are respectful young men, too, and didn't talk to cops the way that these kids do now. I mean, I've been told by a 13-year-old to go fuck myself. I'm just like, what? You know, I didn't get mad. I laughed. Because, I mean, that's what I expect that from a 13-year-old. But in my world I grew up in, I was very respectful of the cops because I knew that it had a bad ending if I wasn't. So that's another thing about stupid comments. The shit people say to us now, I didn't even know that kind of shit really existed in the 80s and 90s because it never occurred to me to talk to a cop that way. Like, I got pulled over, yes or no, sir. What do you need from me, sir? Very compliant, yes or no, sir, because that was the only way I knew I was not going to get my ass whipped.
Yeah.
You know, now it's like you walk up on the car and they're cussing and screaming as you walk up. And you're like,
it's a rite of passage.
Are you okay?
Rite of passage.
Okay. Well, I'm so-and-so, and I work for so-and-so, and I stopped you because you were speeding 92 in a 65. Hold on. I'm just telling you why I stopped you. May I have your license, please, first, before we go any further? Now, once I got their license, now I let them say what they want. But at least I got my deed now. If they drive off on me, go ahead.
Yeah.
So, and then, sometimes you got to let them vent for a minute. Sometimes you let them vent for a minute. They typically calm down. So I just stand there and let them vent for a minute. I understand. I hear you. I understand you. Okay. However, the speed you were driving is a fatality speed. Okay. I need you to slow down. I don't need anyone dying out here today. Okay. I'm late for work. How late are you going to be if you hit a car at 92 miles an hour? Maybe forever. It's not worth it. Slow down. I'll be right back. You going to give me a ticket? And I always just say this. Don't know yet. Yes, I'm going to. But I'm going to go back and run their record.
Yeah.
And see what have we got history-wise. Are we talking like habitual offender or gets a ticket once every 10 years.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that does factor, but 92 is not a warning.
Yeah.
I don't give a damn who you are. 92 and a 65, you will kill somebody if you hit them at that speed. And you're probably going to ping pong off 10 cars on the way to the guardrail. Mm-hmm. Now I've got a massive mass casualty incident, and I'm shutting down a major highway for 12 hours.
Yeah.
Which is going to make everybody in the city oh so happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because now they all have to take alternate routes. And the lights here are not set up for that kind of mass evacuation off a highway. There's still time like normal. You're going to sit in that light for 45 minutes to an hour just trying to get through the light because you're going to get six cars at a time through the light.
Yep. No. I don't know. It's the stupid, just like the comments and the phrases and everything you hear throughout the day. It just makes you wonder, just like this can't be reality just in some moments.
But they truly believe it. In their mind, they're not fucking with you. They actually believe what they're saying. And it boggles my mind. And I want to know where they got this information because I guarantee you they did not look it up. They're going off they.
Mr. They.
University or YouTube, as I call YouTube U, or University of Tube.
Yeah.
That is not – okay. There's a lot of good information out there, and there's a lot of bad information out there. The best way to fight bad information is with good information.
Yeah.
There are good videos on YouTube that actually break down laws or whatever the subject is, and you can tell they're professionals or they've done their research versus the Yahoo in mom's basement drinking Mountain Dew and eating Cheetos and screaming at the top of his lungs. Probably not the best source of information. Okay. You're also about to talk about the same guy who wears a tinfoil hat. Okay. Versus, hi, I'm so-and-so, and I'm a PhD from UCLA, and I've been researching this for 10 years, and I just recently published a paper in the New England Journal of Medicine. Okay, that might be a subject matter expert that maybe I can listen to what he has to say. Mm-hmm. That's kind of all how it's presented, too. You know, but when you got the guy just screaming, this is bullshit, this is crap, and okay, you know what? Even if it isn't, I don't want to hear it.
Yeah.
Again, approach.
Yeah, John Day. Yeah. John Day told me, I just remember another one. Funny, pat somebody down. Yeah, it's just like weed in a pipe. Very, very simple things right there. Weed in a pipe. Very simple. Those are two tickets. That's just a ticket. Or it could be two tickets, depending.
Yeah, PDP and site release.
Yeah, very simple. Okay, do you know who this is? No. But I just found it in your pocket. Yeah, but I don't know how it got there.
Yeah.
Stupid answer, stupid question. Stupid comment.
Well, these are my pants.
See, I've never heard that.
See,
I've
heard it only once or twice, too, because I expected to hear it all the time. And I think, honestly, they've realized that's a worn-out answer.
but me finding something in your pocket, well, I don't know how I got there. Well, damn sure it didn't come from me. Like, so how do you, and you know, I've never really had a follow up. Usually I just stop all the conversation there because I'm like, well, I don't want to be here. And it, this argument goes down or like some sort of rabbit hole. And I'm just like, oh, now I'm stuck with this guy being irate. I just leave it. But my follow up question has always wanted to be, well, how do you not know how this got in your pants? What is the reason that this would just be in your pants?
And for those that don't understand how the law works, that is how we're able to convict you on what's inside your pants, because a reasonable person knows what's in their pockets. And that is how we're able to convict you, because the law does not say ownership. It says possession.
Yep.
So you would have a hard time selling a jury that you didn't know what was in your pants. Because I guarantee you, you ask any, and I'm not talking about cops, any reasonable person, hey, what's in your pockets right now? Oh, I got my car keys in my right pocket. I got my phone in my back left pocket. I got my wallet in my right pocket. They know. So, oh my God, how did that appear in my pocket out of nowhere? You think a jury's going to buy that? I'm like, come on, dude, really? You just sound dumb. And we play this in court 6 months from now or a year from now. The jury's going to be looking at you all at one time like this. Like, what? And you're sitting there at the defense table going, yeah, that does sound stupid. Or your lawyer already told you, hey, they're going to play that and it ain't going to look good.
It's just oddball questions. Yeah. It's just oddball questions, oddball answers, and just oddball comments. Yeah,
I truly enjoy my job because of the variety of people. I mean, I get to meet people all day long. And I tell them, hey, I get to meet great people all day long. Some are nice, some are not so nice, but everybody's different. You know, you get the guy doing 100, but he's just absolutely polite. Yes, sir. I'm so sorry. I'm not going to make an excuse. I was late to work. I'm going to give him a warning. I'm not going to warn. I'm going to give him a ticket because it's still fatality speed. But his attitude is going to go a long way. Mm-hmm. And you get into court, the jury may be like, yeah, but he admitted it. But I mean, look at him. He's polite.
Right.
And then you get the guy that's only doing 15 over. I may have just given him a warning. But he's, ah, blah, 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 blah. Well, now you're getting a ticket. Okay. And the jury's not going to be impressed with how you were talking to me. Because you did it. I didn't do it. You did it. I observed it and saw it and stopped you. That's it. That's. I pulled over a car a couple days ago. First thing that got my attention, there's 9 people crammed in this fucking Dodge. So I'm like, I'm counting heads in the back window like, what the? 1, 2, 3, 4. I know there's only 7 seats in that damn car. I look at the plate. It's got one of them dark covers on it. Mm-hmm. That's strike 2 right there. So I run the plate. No registration for 5 years, no insurance. I'm like, I have 4 minimum reasons to stop this car now. 4. Light him up. So I lit him up. He was actually very polite. He actually was a very polite young man. I was actually very impressed. He was, yes, sir, I'm sorry. But he had no license. The girl sitting here, there was a car seat with an infant in between the very young mother and very young father. And I mean, like, she must have been 15 when she had this infant. I mean, I'm looking at him like, I didn't want to ask how old are you, but I was pretty sure I had socks older than her.
Mm-hmm.
Another guy up here in the front seat. Then in the back seat, which is only got 3 spots, there was like 4. I was just like, good, what the hell, 4? Oh, my God. So I'm like, sir, you do understand that you can only have as many people in the car as there are seatbelts, number 1. 2, that child's not even buckled in that car seat. She's just thrown in the car seat, and there's nothing between her and the windshield but air because the front left seat and the right seat are right there. There's that spot. And she's an infant. She's probably like 8 months old.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, I'm going to kill a tree writing these tickets today. I mean, you're going to get like 10 damn tickets today. You know. So I said, where's your license? The girl in the back seat, oh, his parents are helping him. Yeah, what does that have to do with the question I asked now? He still has to have a license before he drives, not after. So I'm like, wow. But he gave me his ID. All right. What's your current address? Do you still live here? No, I haven't lived there in years. What's your current address? You know, does any adult in this car have a license in any way? Not one adult. 8 adults, 1 child. Not a single one of the adults had a license. I'm just like, not one of you? I was hoping for at least 1. I was like, all right. So I can either tow the car.
Right.
Put 9 people, and it was 90 degrees. Put 9 people on the road with an infant. I'm just like, God, there comes a time where you do have to use discretion.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, crap. So I said, okay, here's the deal. One of y'all is going to walk. One of you has to walk because there's no seatbelt for you. I said, let's get that child buckled in correctly. And she buckled the child in correctly. I was like, now how hard would that have been to do the first damn time? Oh, she unbuckled it. She's 8 months old. No, she didn't. That button is hard to press even for adults. Don't tell me the 8 month old was able to and take off her harness, please.
See that now. That's the funny
comment. Coming.
Yeah, that's
so. I said, when he's got to walk, I said, who here wants to walk? And the guy goes, well, we live right down the street. I said, then he can walk right down the street. He's a grown man. He'll be fine. It's actually a pretty decent area. He'll be fine. And there's sidewalks and everything. He'll be all right. I ended up writing that kid like 10 tickets. And I was like, good God, you know, I killed a tree on this kid, but he earned every one of them.
Yeah.
I mean, that was dangerous. That was a whole car of dangers right there. Mm-hmm. And if that had been in a crash, that would have been a bad, bad day.
Yeah.
That child and that person who wasn't buckled in the back probably would have been seriously injured or maybe even killed.
Yeah.
So I stopped him and I may have prevented a tragedy. Now, we can't see the future where I can go. I guarantee I saved a life. We don't know.
Right.
But every traffic stop is a potential life saved, especially for movement violations like that. Speed, not wearing seatbelts, that is potentially life saved. The biggest comment I get, why aren't you wearing a seatbelt or why aren't you kidding on the car seat? Oh, because I was just going down the street. But you're sharing the street with other cars that are on these.
Mm-hmm.
Not paying attention, running red lights, impaired. Don't think because the sun's out, you're not around impaired drivers. They're out there during the day too. Absolutely out there during the day. I said, so they hit you, not your fault, but your kid wasn't seatbelted or car seat and they go through the windshield. Wasn't your fault, but your child's still dead.
Yeah.
Or could just been a fender bender and y'all walked away because you were restrained correctly.
Mm-hmm.
So when they give me stupid answers like that, I tend to get a little sharp.
Yeah.
Because that is a stupid ass answer. I'm just going down the street, but you're on a public road surrounded by other 5,000 pound pieces of metal. Like, you're not going from private property to private property across a shared driveway on a backcountry road.
Yeah.
Okay, where it's just you now. Like, drive like an idiot, that's on you, but you're on private property. You don't have to wear a seatbelt on private property. You're on the public roadway, especially busy ones.
Yeah.
Like, come on, man. That's your answer? I was just going down the street? Like, that's a stupid answer. You're just like, oh. I'm already getting fed up. I think we're going to call that one.
Yeah.
All right. It just raised my blood pressure just now. I don't know how it did that. Like, Jesus. So, listeners, I hope you learned something today. And, of course, we hope you laugh because that's always we'd rather. We want you to laugh because you learn best through humor. Learned that a long time ago. You make me laugh, I'm going to remember it. Okay? Brothers, sisters, we hope you learned something today or maybe rejog your memory and, you know, keep a sharper eye out. Just pay attention to what goes on around you. Citizens, do the same thing, obviously. What we say is supposed to be funny, but there's a learning point behind a lot of what we say. So, please mm-hmm. take it as that. If we offended anybody, good. Him and I aren't caring about your feelings. You know, if you don't like it, don't watch it. That's my best advice. You don't like it, don't watch it. So, and for those of you that want to know what we look like and you're tired of hearing us talk, but you maybe want to see what J-Man looks like because he is a stud. I couldn't get laid in a whorehouse at $20. J-Man's just a beautiful human being. I love him to death. We have a YouTube channel, Running Code. RUNNIN apostrophe space code. That is our YouTube channel. You can find the videos of these now. So you have the audios on there as well now too, aside from whatever platform you prefer to use, whether that's Apple Podcast or Spotify. You can actually watch the actual episode and see what we look like. So J-Man, you're going to be a star. You are a stud. And with that new haircut, man, you're not going to be able to walk down the street.
Maybe. I don't know.
So we hope you enjoyed today's show. We do apologize for last week. Both of us are indisposed. We weren't able to put out an episode. We had something going on. So we're real sorry about that. So we hope this one makes up for that. And hope you get some good laughs out of it. So I got nothing else to add. J-Man, you got anything else to add?
Nope.
All right. Listeners, we are out of here.